Okay, today is the 18th of March, the afternoon of Friday. I'm sitting here with Adeola Sogbine, my friend from Canada, and we're working through the Psalms, and we're in the fourth Psalm, and I've asked Adeola to read those eight verses, and then we're going to talk about those eight verses. Welcome aboard, Adeola.
All right. Thank you. This is, and let you know for the record, we did pray before the meeting.
Right.
So I personally did. So, Psalms chapter 4. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou enlarge me when I was in distress. Have mercy and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity, seek after leasing, Selah? But now that the Lord has set apart him that is godly himself, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wheat, their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety.
Well, thank you for reading that. And, you know, we have a Psalter. We used to sing the Psalms quite a bit. And I remember this, Psalm. We used to sing it quite a bit. It went something, I don't know if I would be able to remember the words or not, but it went something like this. Answer when I call, O God who justifies. In my strength you freed me to embrace my own. Sons of men, how long will you my glory shame? Will you love what's worthless? Will lies be your aim? No, the Lord has said. And anyway, I can't remember all the words, but anyway, I remember that psalm. And so much of what David is calling out to God to show him mercy in his distress. And, you know, this thing about how long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? I was thinking about these oligarchs. You know, not only in Russia, but they're all over. I mean, America has their own oligarchs, multi-millionaires, you know.
Same thing here in Canada, too.
Yeah.
I mean, for just an example, the owners of, Sobeys, the complete grocery store chain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're based out of Nova Scotia.
Okay.
It's under the Empire Food brand.
Okay.
Empire Foods Limited. So they're Sobeys, Freshco, Foodland, several brands, as well as Loblaws, but the Weston family. And they're all the Loblaws chains, they bought Shoppers, and then they bought the health food store.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, these are just two examples amongst others, and I keep on thinking. And and said their wealth increased. And I was like, well, no, they didn't. The only reason why they increased is because of inflation.
Right.
How is that any increase in wealth where, you know, you make it more expensive for the same thing?
That's right.
And then I sit back and I said, well, and then on the flip side, you're literally pricing the farmers out of the business, the dirt through practices. You're pricing the farmers out of business because of the regulation involved to the point where they'll sell out to more corporate entities like Cargill, as an example, Cargill Foods.
Right.
And it could be something that's Tyson in the States.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And Monsanto.
Yeah, Monsanto. And I keep on thinking about this, and I said, what's wrong with it with small family farm and let people grow their own food?
Right. That's right.
Seriously. And so I keep on thinking, I mean, I'm not faulting, you know what? I'm not faulting for making a buck. I'm a capitalist.
Right.
My thing is that don't do it at the expense of stifling competition innovation.
Right.
That's a problem that I have.
Or at the expense of actually taking advantage of other people. You know, I mean, I saw today on a news blip that a lot of the people in Canada are leaving Canada, especially those with a lot of net worth. They're taking all their money and leaving Canada because they don't trust Justin Trudeau after what he did to the truckers up there.
Yeah, especially with the banking system here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here in Canada. I mean, there was a lady I met before this trucking thing, convoy happened. She was within weeks of selling everything and getting out of the country permanently.
Wow.
Going out of Mexico, to central Mexico. But this hadn't happened.
Wow.
I mean, just to give you an example. Okay, I take an example, Walt, in the situation he's living in. We both know that what his situation is. And I look at a situation, and I know seniors here in Canada, if you look at it, they're struggling on a pension just to make ends meet.
Right, right.
And I'm sitting there just looking at him, it's only by God's grace.
Right.
And yet, if you go to central Mexico, they have a lot of Canadian U.S. expats there. I mean, on $1,500 and $1,000 a month for 15, you're living like a king.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same U.S. Even if you convert it to U.S. dollars and get down there, their dollars go further. More temperate climate, you can actually grow your own food so you can provide for yourself.
Right.
Okay, fine. You gotta be the citizen and buy a place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you gotta be a citizen to buy the place, buy property, but if you're leasing for, like, year, so many years, I mean, there's no stop from family just leasing the same spot for years.
Right.
Okay, fine. But it's the fact that, and this is, I mean, and I always say to a person, and look at God's word. If you look at God's word, it's a capitalist Bible through and through. One really looks at it. And the first thing it says, you take no advantage of anybody.
Right. And you're going to reap what you sow. If you don't, by the sweat of your brow, you shall eat, you know. And I think this is kind of what this is referring to when it says, how long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? I think those people in the, you know, the owners of these huge corporations like Facebook and YouTube that are dominating they become a monopoly. I think they need to be split up, frankly.
Yeah.
Because if they weren't trying to censor everybody, now the next verse says, but know that the Lord hath set apart himself that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is 2 Timothy 2:19. And I quote it a lot. In fact, I was on the phone with a friend of mine the other day, and he said, "Man, quote your favorite scripture for me again." And I'll just read it to you. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." But think about that. I mean, that is in conjunction with what this is saying. The Lord has set himself, set apart him that is godly for himself, you know. And that's election. That's unconditional election. That's predestination, you know. And I remember, you know, in the next verse in 2 Timothy 2:19 and 20 says, what a contrast. It says, "But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor." And what does that sound like? That sounds a lot like Romans 9. But, yeah.
No, you're right about that. It does sound a lot like it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is why, and with what's going on today, what's the whole religion? I'm sitting there, it's there, but don't pay attention to it. This is the part I'm realizing. Am I aware of what's going on? Yeah.
Right.
I can't pay attention. I virtually cannot pay attention to it.
I think you're right. I think you can invest too much time in. You know, that's the narrative right now. Everything is Ukraine and Russia. I'm so sick about hearing about Ukraine. I'm as sick of hearing about that as I was about COVID-19, you know? And so, I agree with you. You know, you just have to keep focused. And by the way, that's the next verse. "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." That's really what you're saying. You know, I mean, are we to be thinking on things above, or are we supposed to constantly be worrying about what's going on in Ukraine, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and you know my story about almost being homeless.
Yeah.
And rebuilding like this and losing a weight. And there are times I forget
right.
what God has done for me.
Right.
There are days I literally have to remind myself that the enemy's gate, two sunset hits, I have to give thanks.
That's
everything
right.
I have. Everything under it. When I get up in the morning, tell me the lesson I need to learn. Pray before I go to bed. When I get up in the morning, tell me the lesson I need to learn for the rest of the day, and then thank the Lord at the end of the day.
Amen.
For everything. And I'm really beginning to do that, and it's amazing the difference. As well as just be reminded that, you know what, it's a spiritual warfare.
It is, and you know, the next verse says, "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." You know, I've often said people, they spend so much time, you know, thinking about, and there's nothing wrong with trying to better yourself. I mean, you know, we all have to live. We all have to survive.
Yep.
But if you never are thanking the Lord, I will say this. For you, Adiel, every time I talk to you, I'll ask you, you know, how's your day going? You go, well, you know, I don't have any complaints. Well, you know, I ask a lot of people that question, and they always have complaints. You know, I mean, I'm sure you could find some. You know,
oh yeah, it's just weird. It's not that things don't happen. It's not that I don't have any complaints.
Right.
Really. It's not that I don't. Like, seriously, I mean, I can think of a million things to complain about, but then I think about it. It's like what kind of mental bandwidth am I taking up? It's like, really, am I going to hold this much time and energy to complain about something that I have no control over?
Well, you know, and the next verse says, you know, "There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us." But notice what the first part of the verse is. "There be many that say, who will show us any good?" How many people do you hear like that? They're down in the dumps. They're just, you know, and I've been guilty of it myself at times.
Yeah,
you know?
So what? So what? Like, so, and I something when I hear that, sometimes I think about is, you know what? The fact that you're still breathing, is something that, I mean, I'll give an example. I was listening to a podcast today about the couple down the States. They live in, I think in Idaho. It's called Living on a Dime and Growing Rich.
Hmm.
I mean, I agree with everything. They tend to gear on more evangelical side.
Yeah.
Christianity and everything.
Yeah.
But I give them credit that, and these are couples who never made more than 30 grand a year, and they're living well. And when she was talking about inflation today, and she said, you know what? We're not as poor as you think. And she said this. Here in America, I put Canada on the same boat. We're not as poor as we think we are.
Right. Right.
And she had said that, and she said, I said, think about this. I watch a lot of stuff on homeless individuals and everything, and I said, you're homeless. And I mean, I'm very compassionate, so it's not one size fits all. But the fact that people can go to the grocery store and get donations, to give to the needy and get them toothbrush, toothpaste and everything. Sir, you're still living pretty good. I'm not ignoring their mental health issues, wherever the issues are going to. So
right, right.
That's a personal thing there. So when she had said that, I said, you know what? The fact that you can go to a food bank and get something.
That's right.
And get a cell phone. The communication and everything. We're not as poor and doom and gloom as we make ourselves out to be.
That's right. That's right.
And this is where, I mean, so there's still that, even here in Canada, there's still that Protestant work ethic there that no one talks about. There's still that honest capitalism people don't talk about. There are millions of people who help each other out when they can to the best of their ability. That no one you rarely hear about. And all we hear is like in this first part, all doom and gloom. It's like, well, hold on. You can still get in your vehicle and drive to get some gas.
That's right.
They know how expensive it is. You can still get, if you can still walk into gas. You can still walk in the grocery store. Take public transit. So isn't, we're, yes, I will not argue that, yeah, there are people who are suffering here. Okay, try to live without that. Right. Try to go back 180 years, and then we're actually a lot better off than we can give ourselves credit for.
Yeah,
I
would agree with you. I think that, you know, in some of the third world countries today, they're living better than you know, they ever have.
Yeah, I will correct you on that point. I won't call them third world. They're showing what they're living like in the 1800s.
Right, right.
That's the part I keep on thinking about. What they're living is what a lot of North Americans lived in the 1800s.
Right.
You're seeing 60, 70 years ahead. There is that glaring difference between rich and poor in the 1800s. The only difference we just felt as sort of a social safety net that the churches, or religious systems, whatever you call it, sort of advocated to the state. Here in North America.
Right, right.
That's the distinction. The advantage they had, they can sort of leapfrog. So we've had the benefit of doing this. So what I keep on thinking is that we're not as, and when she had said that, I'm like, you know what? I mean, even my parents basically said this to me. I didn't understand it. I'll just give an example. A person makes $30,000 a year, 30 to 35, to be honest with you, they can do real well for themselves and know how to do if they think outside the box in terms of everything else.
Right.
And obviously, if you can't manage the money you have, how can God bless you any further? I've had to learn this the hard way. Personally. It's not a monetary thing, but I tend to look at this. Well, if you're stuck there, look at what you're doing.
Right.
God can see you can manage what you have. Obviously, He'll bless you in ways you won't even think about. And this is from personal experience, where I had to admit, there were times where I had no clue where the money's going to come from. There were literally times where, yes, did I have to go to the food bank occasionally? Yes, did I have to go to the soup kitchen occasionally? Yeah, I mean, yeah, when I was almost homeless. It was a huge pride sucker in my life, but I had to go through it. And yet, when I was initially selling stuff, there were literally times where I would literally open my fridge and there was like one or two things there, and I look at my shelves, there's barely anything there. I may have some a couple things there, some oatmeal, and one of the entrepreneurial side that I have, and I don't work well in the office environment, I'll just get a job there. And he's like, no, I don't work well in that environment, I'd rather do this. All of a sudden, I get a phone call, I say, Addy, come by, pick this up, I'll pay you $60 for the item. Thanks.
Wow.
No problem, came by, and I said, can I get a ride to your grocery store? Had no food the last rest of the month, at the last minute.
Wow.
I can think of plenty of times where I don't know where the money's going to come for to pay these certain things, and it's at the last minute it happened. Personally, this was dead of the winter time. I mean, literally nothing. And I was sit back and I said, I don't know how I made it through it. I went along on faith. It may not look like it, but I have said individuals, like I was almost homeless for 4 months. I said, really? I said, yeah. They don't look like it, but I was going through that kind of stress.
Right, right.
I can't blame anybody else.
Well, so, you know, I think that, you know, now when you're faced with those kind of things, you can look back and see all the times that God has rescued you, and that that increases your faith, you know. And you say, well, if he did it before, he can do it again, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I agree with that. You know, there's a, in the third Psalm, it's amazing here. We've already done the third Psalm, but he says in the third verse, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. You know, without God, trusting in God, really, where would we be? Where would we be? You know, I mean,
I totally agree with that. I mean, just look at your experience is mine.
Yeah.
If God hadn't sent individuals in our lives and set our events that we will go through it, I don't know where I'll be right now, personally.
I'm with you 100% on that. I just, you know, I look back and sometimes I have to just scratch my head, you know, and saying, wow, you know, because at the time, you know, it looked hopeless, totally hopeless. And then, you know, then the light came on, you know. And I think another thing is, as it relates to what we're going through, I think there's great value in not only being thankful, but also praising God. I mean, in the 50th Psalm, we're told that in the 14th verse, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. I've often said that you cannot stay down very long when you're praising God, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. And yeah. going to the fourth verse in Psalm 4, thou hast put my gladness in my heart more in the time that their corn wine increased. I will both lay going to eat. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. So it's kind of odd that no matter what, if you lose everything, corn is sort of represents like farming, property, assets, and everything. I mean, so if it's a farming thing, it's the thing. If it's and business sense or income, it's this.
Right.
It's the income our possessions. And I mean, if I lose everything, I mean, honestly, it'll suck. Yeah, right. It will suck and everything. I will not underestimate the situation. It's just still a material thing.
Right.
It's better to have an honest heart and knowing that, I mean, tomorrow is another day. We only have this moment to live in.
Yeah, I think, when you look at the experience that Job went through, that's a very good example. I mean, he actually did. He lost everything. I mean, even his wife, said, curse God and die, And, it's amazing. And then, like we've said before, if you go back to Job and you go to the last chapter in the book of Job, it just gives you a total summation of how he reflected after what he'd been through. And he says that, the Lord, in verse 10, the Lord, I'm reading in verse, chapter 42 of Job, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before.
And Job was not a poor individual, too.
He was
not a poor individual, so it's not like he was like living in a squalor.
Right, right. And then it also says, because when this happened to him, everybody turned on him. All of his relatives, everybody. But then in the latter chapter of his life, it says in verse 11, then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and they all had been his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. They bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses.
That is a lot, and the size of the land one has to have.
Yeah.
That is, if he has a piece of land.
Right.
That is, it's probably more wealth than half these farmers here.
Absolutely.
Like 90% of them.
Yeah.
So, and this is why, I made my blunders along the way.
Oh, I have to.
I made my serious blunders along the way financially. Now I'm just sitting there saying, okay, I got to get out of debt, and God is in control of everything. Personally.
Yeah, it is. I agree with you. It's, we all have made blunders. And sometimes I don't want to recount. I've had more blunder. I've often told people, if I'm right 59% of the time, if I'm right 50% of the time, that means that I'm wrong, 50% of the time. So, but it's not within the creature. I mean, that's the whole thing that we're pointing out here. And like you said in verse 8, it shows a resignation. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, makest me dwell in safety.
Yeah.
So it has to do with resting in Christ, like we've talked so many times. And that's really what this psalm is about, is resting in Christ and not relying upon our own abilities, realizing that we, again, the foundation of God, stand assured, he knows who are his. And we have been given blessings beyond what I think oftentimes we forget, like you said, all the blessings that we've been given. We tend to focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have.
Exactly.
And
For me, I'm guilty of that at times.
I am too.
I am guilty of that, and then I turn around and just have to look at my apartment. I said, wow. Only God has blessed you with this. Period.
That's right.
Only God. I mean, it's. There's no way around it. I admit, I said this before. I would have went broke financially just doing this, trying to get this exact same. I would have went broke.
Right.
In my 30s, I said, and now I'm looking at this like, I said, I mean, you're gonna be stupid in your 30s. It's like, holy cow. It's like, get out of here. But that was me then, not now.
Right. Right. Well, in the 47th Psalm, it says, for the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. I'm reading in Psalm 47, beginning in verse 3. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. I think, you know, when we realize that there's only one God, and he is supreme, he is sovereign, he's king, he's majestic, that gives me great solace, because I realize that regardless of whatever's going on in our own lives, God is not ignorant. God is he's all-knowing, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's immutable. And so when I go through, we had a huge storm up here this morning. Major winds and hail, and it was so bad it woke my little dog up, Tulip, and she got all upset and she woke me up. So I got up at 4:30 in the morning and I realized how massive that storm was. But you know what? You've heard the saying, there's always a calm after the storm, right? And that can be applied to a spiritual storms in our lives. You know, I've had that over and over when and I think, can I make it through this period of time? Can I make it through this? And I'll just remind myself, there's always a calm after the storm, you know?
Yep. And sometimes I have to remind myself, God's always watching. He's always there.
That's right.
Period. I just have to remind myself of that. And I always go through these two verses every day. The Christian woman down in Oregon now. These two verses. Romans 13 verses 9 to 21. But especially verses 16 to 21. In Ephesians 4, verses 26 to 32. Every day I'm going through those two verses on a continual basis.
That's good.
Every single day.
Yeah.
Those two verses. I mean, those two. Because I honestly think if a lot more Christians just pay attention to those two verses on a daily basis, I'm not ignoring the rest of God's word, but honestly, if more individuals, especially God's elect, just pay attention to those two verses, that'll save them a lot of trouble. That would save them a lot of trouble, because they're like, that'll save them a lot of trouble. Like, she told me this through God's grace and direction through Jesus Christ, and I sit back and I'm telling you, that has gotten me out of more trouble than anything else in the last 6 months.
Why don't you read those for us, Adeola?
I'll just read Romans 13.
Okay.
Just read, but from verses 9 to 21. But let's just start with 18 to 21.
Okay.
If it's possible, as much life in you, live peacefully with all men. The term, if it's possible. That's a big if.
Right.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written. And I'm referring to, in 19, I'm referring to Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, and Leviticus 19, verse 18. So it's not a New Testament, it's not a New Testament thing here. Therefore, if that enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him the drink. So doing, thou shalt keep coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. But it says, if possible.
Right.
As much life in you, live peacefully. If you can't do that and you're so upset with him, you better I'm not doing because you better do it on his heart.
Right.
So, I mean, that was given to me, and I'm telling you that I've seen more times these last 6 months where I'll think of what really might. I realize to myself, I can think of some really bad, evil thoughts towards a person. I said, Adiola, shut up. This, I have to read this. Okay, Adiola, okay, no vengeance here. I'll have to remind myself, does every time I go that? I'll go through those prayers. I'll literally remind myself and read those verses.
That's good.
I go back, and I'm like, all right, leave it alone.
That's good. That's good.
Just calm down a bit. Just calm down and just. Then, Ephesians 4. I start with, the entire chapter, but 18, verse 18, start with that. Let's still study the entire chapter. But I'll start at verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Ephesians 4, so I start at 22. And renewing the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not, let the sun not go down, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. This is verse 26. But it starts with be angry. 27. Neither give place to the devil. Basically, absolutely give no credit at all to the devil or his evil angel minions. Is what it's saying. Give no credit at all. Let him that stole no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but which is good to use in edifying, that may minister grace unto hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whether ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Wow. That is really a great in fact, I think that's a good passage to stop on. We've been going about 40 minutes, and I think that that again, you were reading from Ephesians 4. What verses again? Ephesians 4.
Okay, hold on. Ephesians 4. Verses 22 to 32. But study the entire chapter.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a that's a really good because that goes right along with what you know we just read in Ephesians. I mean, in Psalm 4, in verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. So that's very complimentary verses there to go along with Ephesians 4. I'm gonna stop the recording. We hope that those that listen will get, will go to these passages and read them on a daily basis, and that hopefully it will help you. Let me just stop the recording here. We'll be ready for Psalm 5 next time.